On behalf of Bishop Kelly and Bishop Sante and all the priests and the seminarians and the sisters, I would like to wish you all a very happy and holy new year. The Epistle of Titus, chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel. His name was called Jesus. Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our people, St. Catherine of Alexandria, was one of the greatest philosophers that the Church has ever known. And St. Catherine was born in Egypt in the early centuries of the Church. And she was very intelligent as a young girl and advanced very rapidly in the liberal arts. And joined to her thirst for learning was Catherine's great love of the Catholic faith. And thus she grew in both the knowledge and the love of things both supernatural and natural. In fact, by the age of 18 years old, she surpassed most scholars both in holiness and learning. And such qualities prepared her for great difficulties and trials as she would face later on in life. St. Catherine lived during the time of the Roman persecutions. And when she heard that the Emperor Maximin was torturing Christians only on account of their practice of the Catholic faith, she decided to approach the Emperor. And her zeal for the faith was so strong that she did not hesitate to reprove the emperor himself for persecuting the Catholic Church. Once she was admitted into the emperor's presence, she then rebuked him for his impious cruelty. She proved to him by a well-reasoned logic that belief in Christ is necessary for salvation. And upon hearing her arguments, Emperor Maximin was very astonished at her wisdom. But the emperor wanted her on his side. He wanted to win her over to the side of the pagans. And so it was that he then imprisoned her and had the most learned men from all over the country assemble, and they were to strive to convince her to give up the Catholic faith. However, the very opposite happened. Instead of the pagan scholars converting St. Catherine, many of them were converted by her. And so it was that the emperor resorted to another plan. He now tried to sway her by flatteries and promises. And when this, of course, did not work, he resorted to the use of violence. And he ordered St. Catherine to be scourged. And afterwards, she was again put into prison. And this time, she was denied food and water for the space of 11 days. Now, during her imprisonment, the emperor's wife came to visit St. Catherine. And St. Catherine spoke with the empress for quite some time. And in fact, St. Catherine's words had a good effect on her. After having listened to St. Catherine's clear explanation of the truths of the faith, and by her cooperation with God's grace, the Empress herself converted to the one holy Catholic faith. And the wicked emperor, having heard that his wife had embraced the true faith, became extremely angry to the point that he gave the horrific order for her execution. Shortly after, St. Catherine herself was taken to the place of her martyrdom. And as she stood there waiting, a wheel was set up before her, and they attached very sharp knives to this wheel, so that when the wheel would turn, it would lacerate her body horribly. But as the fatal machine was being assembled in the presence of all, St. Catherine began to pray. And as she sincerely prayed to the true God, the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ, answered her prayer. For while she prayed, the machine of torture and death literally crumbled before the eyes of all those who had come to see her execution. Her prayer was so powerful that the machine miraculously fell to pieces. And many who witnessed this amazing scene were instantly converted. The power of her saintly and heroic example was a source of many, many conversions. Whereas this event was supposed to put an end to the life of one Christian, and in fact produced many Christians. And as you can imagine, this enraged Emperor Maximin, and out of diabolical hatred for the Catholic faith, the emperor commanded Catherine to be beheaded. And thus on November 25th, St. Catherine of Alexandria was martyred for the one true faith. She died for her Lord and Savior because she defended the one and only true church and its founder, Jesus Christ. My dear people, in the gospel for today's feast, we read about the circumcision of our Lord. St. Luke tells us that after 8 days, the Christ child was circumcised. And it was at that time that he received his name, the beloved name, Jesus. And this holy name, Jesus, was foretold by the angel at the time of the Annunciation. The name which he was given, the holy name of Jesus, as we know, means Savior. And my dear people, Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior there is in the world. And it is through our Lord Jesus Christ alone that we can attain salvation. There is no other God by which we can be saved. I remember in some of the sermons Bishop Kelly gave, he would oftentimes say that Buddha cannot save you, Confucius cannot save you, and so forth. Our Lord alone is our Savior. And this truth, which we believe, is rejected by the majority of people in our own day and age. In rejecting this truth, the truth that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is the only Savior in the world, the majority of men obscure the meaning of life. See, in the eyes of the world, the purpose of life is viewed as some great mystery. But it's not. As we know, it's very simple. We were created by God to know Him, to love Him, and to serve Him here below, and eventually be with him in heaven for all eternity. Simple reason why God made us. And if we do not have the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is, if we do not know him as we are supposed to, then we cannot be saved. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And as our Savior, he redeemed us from hell by shedding his blood for us. The circumcision that he underwent just 8 days after his birth, that very fact would have been sufficient for the salvation of the entire world. It would have been enough. It would have been enough to appease, to satisfy the infinite offense committed against Almighty God, but it would not suffice to gain the love of mankind. Man would be too inclined to forget a small sacrifice. And thus it was our Lord carried our sins with him to Calvary. And there on the cross, he shed his blood for us on that Good Friday. His agonizing, painful death on the cross was a proof to mankind of his immense love for us. His bloody death was so sorrowful and painful that we cannot allow ourselves to forget it or even to minimize it. God could have redeemed us by a simple act of his will alone, by spilling just one drop of his precious blood. But he wanted to show us, to show his people, he would go to any extreme because of his great love for us. And thus he shed every single drop of his precious blood in the most painful of deaths. And it is truly sad that many people do not know the God who has done all this. They do not know their God, their loving Father, who has given them every single good that they have and has given them the opportunity to be happy with him forever in heaven. It is unfortunate that they do not know the Sacred Heart, who was pierced with love for them, each one of them, individually on Calvary. And what is perhaps even more sad is that many traditional Catholics do not know our Lord perhaps as good as they should. Maybe they do not seek to know him better. But isn't it only natural that if we love a person, then we will seek to know that person as best as we can? My dear people, remember that you are children of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is fitting that a child knows his own father. But to know him, that is to know our Lord Jesus Christ, then it is required that we study him. We make it a habit to learn about him. So I would encourage you as you make resolutions today on this first day of the new year to resolve to know our Lord better at the end of this year, 2015, than we did when we came to Mass this morning. During this new year, strive to learn more about the life of our Lord. Try to be more familiar with the teachings of the Church. Take some time out during the day, during the night, if you're busy at work in the afternoon, to some point in time pick up a book to learn about our Lord, to learn about the teachings of Holy Mother the Church. 2,000 years ago, St. Paul spoke the very same thing to the people at that time. St. Paul tried to convince those he preached to about the knowledge, the importance of the knowledge of our Savior. In writing to the Philippians, St. Paul said, "I count all things to be but loss for the excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord." In other words, St. Paul was saying that everything is literally nothing when compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It pales in comparison. The more we know about our Lord, the more better we will love him. The more closer in union we will become with him. With each passing year, every January 1st, it becomes more and more evident that we are living in a pagan society. We live in a society that tries to exclude Almighty God from its very life. And as I mentioned, so few people today know the one true God or even try or even care to know the one true God. And each one of us has had or will have the opportunity, I'm sure, to defend the Catholic faith in these godless times. And by defending your faith, whether it be by the edifying words that you may perhaps say to those who you work with, to your own family members, or it could be very simply the example you set, you may be able to convert souls to the true church, just as St. Catherine did. St. Catherine of Alexandria had such a profound and genuine love for our Lord. Why? Because she truly studied the life of our Lord. And thus, St. Catherine was able to defend her faith, even in the face of the pagan emperor. So many of our people ask the Christ child this Christmas to help you to know him better. Ask him to help you to study his life and his teachings of the Catholic Church. And ask him to do this so you may gain the necessary knowledge, which is very important for our salvation, to both love and defend his church. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.